Good morning, everyone, on a beautiful Saturday here in Pittsburgh. Bob Pompiani here on this side of the glass, Joel Nelson on the other side of the glass. As we talk sports with you for the next 2 hours at 412-928-9370. Also, you should know that the fan Twitter page is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township, and you could visit them at southhillskia.net. The fan text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And our show is brought to you by my friends at Number One Cochrane. Go one better. Ride in style with all the Number One Cochrane locations around. Shop 24-7 with Expressway. Also, PNC Bank. Make today the day at PNC Bank. Shenderovich, Shenderovich & Fishman. Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call. And Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. Come see what everyone's talking about. Well, we're talking a lot about football, which we will get into. It's been the topic all week. And not to beat a dead horse, but we will get into it. We also want to expand the conversation. I want to actually start today with a couple of NHL things going on, because the Penguins are going to get back to it coming up here after the NHL All-Star break, which is this weekend. Today, the game. Yesterday's the skills competition. But Jake Guentzel has been a big topic and will continue to be up until the trade deadline, until we figure out what Jake Guentzel is going to do and how much Jake Guentzel wants. Thing about the Penguins is they've committed for now. And if you commit for now, then you got to figure out a way to sign Jake Guentzel. And I think there's obviously ways to do it. Moving forward, you know, you're going to lose Jeff Carter off the books. You can make some other adjustments there with players on your roster. I think they maybe made a mistake in signing both Brian Rust and Rickard Rakell to long-term contracts. Not so much Rust, but more Rakell. I thought it was a jump that they didn't need to make, knowing that Jake Guentzel was coming up. Jake Guentzel plays on Sidney Crosby's line. He's been a perennial 35 to 40 goal man. He has been one of the best playoff performance players in the NHL. In 58 games, he has 58 points. He has 34 goals. He knows a big game when he sees one. Jake Guentzel is at the end of a contract. So that means that if you let him go with nothing, you're going to get just a compensatory draft pick. But if you make a trade, you could end up getting a lot for your franchise, but you lose Jake Guentzel. And if you're trying to win now with Sidney Crosby, Malkin, Letang, Carlson, all these people, to me, the only option you have is to sign him. Then the question becomes, how much does he make? How much are you willing to spend? He's already turned down reportedly a six-year, $50 million deal. Listen, William Nylander just got 8 years, $92 million. I look at Jake Guentzel, even though he's, you know, a guy in his 30s, as this contract moves on, he still has this amazing chemistry with Sidney Crosby, who I know loves to play with him. And you don't want to disrupt that if you're trying to win now and next year before this chapter of the Pittsburgh Penguins story is over. So the bottom line is you got to sign him. He deserves his one opportunity to get this free agent status to get what he thinks he's worth. And quite frankly, that's going to be at least $8 million a year. I mean, if you're playing Rakell 5 point whatever he's making a year, then he's worth $8 million based on his performance. And you got to figure out a way to do it. So what would you do? That's going to be the first question we talk about here at 412-928-9370. What would you do if you're the Penguins with Jake Guentzel? And what would it take to trade him? How much do you want to get? We saw a trade with Jim Rutherford the other day in Vancouver, and he's willing to just trade picks all the time. He has a very good hockey club there, and he's trying to win now. So we've seen this act before with Jim Rutherford. Even though he's not the GM, he brought in Patrick Alvin to be his man, another Pittsburgh Penguin with, you know, Rick Tocchet behind the bench. They got a lot of Pittsburghers over there, and they have a very good hockey team. We saw it firsthand here in Pittsburgh when they came to town. So how much would you give Jake Guentzel? And if you don't want to pay him, what would you want in return? That's number one. Number two, the NHL is going to go back to the Olympics in 2026 in Milan, Italy, and then in 2030. It'll be the first time in 12 years for them. I remember the first time they ever did it was 1998. We went over KDK TV with Nagano, Japan, and a host of Penguins who played in that Olympic Games. The Czech Republic won, led by Jaromír Jágr and Robert Lang and Marty Straka. And Yuri Slager, those guys all won gold medals. We had a lot of good access because the games were on CBS back then, and we kind of dovetailed off of that. But they haven't been there since 2012. Are you in favor of players playing in the Olympics? For my money, I'd rather see that than the All-Star Games just do nothing for me. Absolutely nothing. I'm watching last night in the skills competition. I see Nikita Kucherov just kind of glide through. He's been injured a lot. I get it. He's out there taking his time, not really interested. But if you're a fan, you pay to watch these guys kind of skate hard, do things, win a competition. And if it's not there, then, you know, maybe he should just not have competed in it. Just like people do in the Pro Bowl. They're not interested, so they drop out. You still get it on your resume that you were an all-star, but you don't necessarily have to play with it. But I understand his position. He don't want to get hurt. He's missed a lot of time with injury, and not saying that that's an event that would hurt him. But, you know, also I think part of that is because he plays for Tampa Bay, and Tampa Bay and Toronto have had some heated rivalry games too, and this was in Toronto. But, you know, I'm tired of all-star games of all sorts. I really have no interest for them. None. Zero. I don't care. Connor McDavid won the overall competition there, got $1 million. Woohoo! How about him? He's already a multi-gazillionaire, and here he is, gets another million. I don't. That may motivate them, but it does nothing for me. As a fan, I don't, you know, it is what it is. But I'm not a fan of all-star games. So if they're going to play Olympic hockey, and I know it probably wouldn't coincide with these dates, but I'd rather see that. Gary Bettman's also talking about an international best-on-best competition, country versus country competition. How do you feel about that? At 412-928-9370, we got some callers about Jake Guentzel. Let's get right to him. Joel Nelson, beginning with Jason in Mount Pleasant. Hey, Jason.
Hey, Bob. Love the show on Saturdays, buddy.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
Hey, here's my thing with Guentzel. They're in last place right now. I mean,
they're not in last. They're in fifth. They're in fifth. They're 7 points, I believe, out of a second wild card.
Well, yeah, but they're not in first. And he didn't even get voted to the All-Star game. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. It was just Crosby.
Yeah, so that's what the league kind of thinks of Jake Guentzel, to be honest with you.
Well, what do the Penguins think of Jake Guentzel? What do you think of Jake Guentzel? And knowing that they're trying to win now, if you trade him, does it indicate you've changed your mind?
No, I think they just think they can go in a different direction with maybe two players instead of one, disperse it over the lineup a little bit better.
Yeah, that may be true, but you're not going to get the same bang for your buck without Jake Guentzel on the top line, Jason. That's my only concern here is this year. If they're trying to win now and everything they've done is to win now, losing him is not sending a message that you're interested in winning now. You're more interested in the future, which I guess Kyle Dubas has both to try to satisfy, now and later.
I hear you, Bob. Thanks for talking, buddy.
All right, Jason. Appreciate that. Let's go out to Noah in New Kensington. Noah, welcome to Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. What's up?
Hey, Pomp. Nice talking to you again. I interviewed you up at St. Vincent at training camp, actually.
Oh, I remember that.
In the summertime.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great to talk to you again.
You too.
But I completely agree with you. There's no way you can trade Jake Guentzel. He's too valuable to this team. I agree with what you said earlier. You have to find a way to sign him in the offseason. And you're not going to be able to go out in the free agent market and find a guy like Jake Guentzel at his age and get the same production from that guy. So there's no way you trade him.
All right, so how much would you pay him? If you make that commitment, you got to come up with a number, because I don't think he's in the habit of giving a hometown discount. I say that word because we hear it all the time. He wants to be here. He also wants to play with Crosby. But he also has one chance to cash in, you know? And
yes,
this is it.
I agree. I'd give him, honestly, and I mean this saying this, I'd give him whatever he wants to stay here.
Well, okay. I get that, but at the same time, give me a number on it. He turned down 6 years, $50 million. I would go so far as 8 years, $8 million a year. That's, what's 8 times 8? 64?
Yeah, I would agree with that number. I think that's a good number.
Yeah, we'll see if they do it. But they're going to save money. The cap's going up by $5 million. I checked on that. So there's money to be spent. It's just how you want to spend it. And again, the message is very important here. If you're trying to win now, he's your best option, trying to dig out from the fifth place spot in the Metro. But Noah, thanks, man. I appreciate it. Hopefully see you up at St. Vincent again this year. All right, let's go to Brandon in Whitehall. Hey, Brandon, what's going on?
Hey, Bob, how are you?
I'm good. What's going on with you today?
Not too much. I love Jake Guentzel, and I think if you can get at least a first and a second for him, great. But honestly, I'd rather sign him for $8 to $10 million for five. Like, if you got to go up to $10 million to get him for 5 years, great. He's only 29. But if you can get him 8 for 6. I still don't think that's a win now contract. I mean, he's not that old, and I think you could still build around someone if you have 5 or 6 years on his contract. I think you sign him either way. You're not going to get a forward that good for $8 million in 2 years, especially with the cap keeps going up. So, I mean, even a budget deal, you know, in 3 years, this will be worth it. I just don't see the downside.
And let's not pretend here. It's not easy to play with somebody like Sidney Crosby. You have to think the same way he thinks. Remember when Mario Lemieux had a bunch of wingers? Robbie Brown figured it out pretty quickly, but not everybody can. You could throw a lot of people on that line. You may not get the kind of production that maybe Crosby wants. The other thing is, Crosby said at the All-Star game that he is anxious, excited potentially to play in the Olympics in 2026. So he's going to be playing for quite a while. And if he does, and if he's at a good level like he is right now, Gensel is the guy who makes that possible too.
Yeah, I don't disagree at all. I think a lot of people overlook Gensel because he plays with Crosby, but they don't realize how much they need to set each other up.
I got you. Thanks, Brandon. Appreciate the call at 412-928-9370. Jake Gensel, the topic right now. We'll go to Jason in Greentree. Jason, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for taking a call. Love the show.
Appreciate it.
Well, my take is he's already in his 8th year. So you were saying giving him 8 more years. That's kind of assuming he's going to have a 16-year productive career. That's a little excessive. I mean, if you're going to re-sign him, I'd be looking for more of like a 4 or 5 years, but
he won't. He won't take that.
I would personally see what you can get for him. We need some youth, and we need to get younger. So if you're able to bring assets back for him, you know, that's what I would look to do instead of paying him. I think the bigger issue is you paid Russ, and he's fallen off since he got paid, and Raquel hasn't even shown up. So
right. That's where the mistake was. I think they should have preempted those two with Gensel, first and foremost, and then move on from there. And I think you could have gotten Raquel for less money.
Now, Gensel's stats are also inflated when you have someone like Sidney Crosby putting a puck on your tape.
Yeah, but it's not that easy. No. Jason, don't say that. To play on that line, you better think the way Sidney Crosby thinks. It's not that easy. It isn't. Maybe Gensel makes it look easy, but it's not easy. They have a chemistry. It takes time to develop that. And all I'm saying is, hockey players now play 20-year careers if they can. You may not be as sharp, but they're banking that in the next 3 years, when they have Crosby, Malkin, Letang, and Carlson and these people, they want to try to win now. And the only way you're going to get that is by keeping him, I think. Unless you can get players off somebody else's roster who are productive right off the bat, plus some future assets. You know, I don't know if there's a trade out there to be made like that.
Yeah, that's what I would say. You got to get a lot back for him. You know, I just wonder, is he that good without someone like Crosby? You know, that would be the question.
All right, man. Thank you. Appreciate it. Okay, have a good day, Jason. Tony in the car before we go to break. What's up, Tony?
Hey, good morning, Bob. Hey, I couldn't agree with you more. The numbers don't lie. They need to keep Gensel, but I think they need to look at other options within the lineup to dissolve and bring some of those character players we had during the cup runs. They're willing to block shots, play defense, et cetera.
Oh, I think so. You know, they tried to upgrade the bottom six. I don't know if they've been that successful. And quite frankly, their biggest problem, Tony, 13.1 on the power play. How does that happen? That's second to last in the NHL. You know, Mike Sullivan has tried some things with Todd Reirden. They took took Malkin and Carlson off recently, put on Valtteri Puustinen and Letang on that. And Puustinen has got a pretty good shot. I don't know. The bottom line to me is it's a simple thing that they cannot do, which is get in front, cause traffic, get in ahead of a goaltender, put shots on goal, and get rebounds. And they seem not to be able to do or not willing to do it. I don't know.
No, that's a good call, Bob. Like when we had Hornquist or the other defenseman from the Canadians, I can't remember his name, the 6'6", 6'7" guy that could screen the goalie. Maybe that's what we're missing, because on paper, you're absolutely right. Carlson, Crosby, Malkin, there should be no reason why the puck ain't going in.
All right, Tony, thanks very much. Appreciate it. We got to take a break. We have John and Cranberry, Jay and Blahnox coming up, but we're going to expand this to talk about the Super Bowl, which is going to be played this week. Your take on Arthur Smith, the new offensive coordinator who shaved his mustache for his new team. Joel, you got a mustache. You look good in your mustache. Would you ever consider shaving it?
Thank you, Bob. Appreciate that. Maybe here or there, but maybe only like a couple times a year. Otherwise, probably not.
Well, I don't think many people can carry it off like you do.
Thank you, Bob.
I think Arthur Smith looks better clean shaven. And that, to me, is a good indication that he's willing potentially to maybe make a change in what's gone on here in Pittsburgh. We'll talk about that. We'll also get into, I want to throw this out at you because I think it's fascinating. You know, the LIV and the PGA Tour cannot figure out how to coexist right now. They're working on it. But instead of a Ryder Cup format, or maybe in addition to a Ryder Cup format, why not a LIV versus PGA? They have enough big names on both sides now where it would be very fascinating. I'll talk more about that. Steelers coming up. More on Jake Gensel. What would you do? We'll have calls all the way to 1 o'clock. It's Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Welcome back to the program, everyone. A beautiful Saturday in store for you. A beautiful weekend, actually. And it's actually golfable weather, which I'm going to throw this topic out before I get into football. And that would be, would you be in favor of a PGA versus LIV sort of Ryder Cup format? I think it would be fascinating because so many big players have left the PGA for LIV. Of course, John Rahm being the most recent big name. Tyrell Hatton just did. He got a lot of money. But you could have some pretty interesting matchups there. You still have Phil Mickelson, who's on the LIV Tour. You have Rahm. You have Brooks Koepka, four-time major winner. DeChambeau's there. Cam Smith, an up-and-coming Dustin Johnson, and others. Going against some of the younger guys who are now on the PGA Tour and trying to make careers of themselves. I think it'd be fascinating. Would you like it at 412-928-9370? The other thing is, this is Super Bowl week, and I'm sure we're going to be inundated with Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift, even though she's swifting her way on into Japan for some shows, and then returns for the Super Bowl, I would imagine. So, but Patrick Mahomes will make some history. The most Super Bowl starts before the age of 30. Ben Roethlisberger, Tom Brady, and Troy Aikman. I think Elway should be included in that. I can't remember all of Elway, but he's probably in there. Had made three starts in a Super Bowl game before the age of 30. This will be number four for Patrick Mahomes, so he will top that list. And a lot of people believe Kansas City will win another one. And if they do, then my question for you is this a dynasty? And I say that because, to me, dynasties are not born with just getting to the Super Bowl. Dynasties are born with winning Super Bowls. The Steelers, to me, still had the best one in a very short period of time. In the early 1970s until the end of the 70s with 4 and 6 years. That's hard to do. It may never, ever be done again. New England would be, you know, you have to stretch it out. Because when you get six of them, I mean, I get that to me is a dynasty. Is it better than the Steelers one? Well, it took more years to, you know, to do it, but they got six of them in a, what is it, 15 to 18 year span, whatever it was. If you look at the 49ers had one, but again, it took more than just 6 years as the Steelers took. So if the Chiefs win this one, this will be number three. So Joel, would you consider them a dynasty team?
If they win this one, I would say yes.
If they don't?
Say that again?
If they don't, because they still have two and all six, four appearances in 6 years. But unless, you got to win them before you become a dynasty.
Unless they get blown out, I think, you know, I think, they've made four Super Bowls in 5 years. I think so.
Yeah. It will be interesting. 412-928-9370. Let's go out to John in Cranberry, who joins us this segment of the program. What's up, John? How are you?
Hey, Bob. Thanks for taking my call. And
sure.
I saw you were away on vacation with the grandchildren and family. I hope you had a good time.
Yeah, we went to Disney World, and that was great. The kids loved it, the grandkids, and that's all that mattered. Although yeah, Lisa and I, we were troopers. Yeah. We had to walk parks six straight days, like 15-hour days, but it was fun.
Fantastic. I'm glad you had a good time.
Thank you.
So I wanted to talk about the big game. So I just, and I was going to mention this, what you just led into it. I feel that if the Chiefs do win, then it is official dynasty. I'm not sure if they lose. I'm not sure. I don't think so yet. But if they do, there's no doubt about it. It's interesting. I wanted to get your take on the game. So here's my take. Most people I'm talking to are going with the Chiefs and Kelce and Andy Reid. I have a feeling that the game is going to go down to the wire. I have a feeling this one's going to be close to the end of the fourth quarter. And I think when I watched that game against Buffalo, it looked like the Bills could run the ball against them. And I think if they can get McCaffrey going and keep it close, the Niners are very healthy. And I think Shanahan's going into this game, the one he lost to the Chiefs a few years ago, they blew at the end of the game. And I have a feeling that the Niners could take this one late. But again, with Mahomes, I would never bet against them.
No.
That's my take. And I want to see what you thought of the big game.
Yeah, thank you, John. Appreciate it. What I think is, if I'm Kyle Shanahan and Steve Wilks, I am absolutely going to smother Travis Kelce. Everywhere he goes, he'll have two or three people. I don't care how I do it. because I don't believe the wide receivers on that team are you know, in line with what he does, what he brings to that relationship with Patrick Mahomes. So if someone's going to beat me, I ain't going to be Travis Kelce. He's done a lot in the postseason. Obviously, he's the best, most productive postseason tight end, but he will not beat me if I'm Kyle Shanahan. I'll let others do that, and I'll try to give up one-on-one coverage if I have to some of their wideouts, and even Isaiah Pacheco out of the backfield. I think, even though Kansas City's defense has been really good, I think this 49er offense, when clicking, is as good as any. Now, they've had their potholes along their road. I get that. But quite frankly, Brock Purdy knows how to make that machine run. They got an outstanding running back. They got an outstanding fullback. They got weapons all over the field. I think this will be a San Francisco game. They're favored at the beginning. They've been continually favored. Now, that's changed a little bit up and down. I think it's going to be a close game, but I think the 49ers will win. And quite frankly, I hope they do. And I know that's sacrilegious to those of you in Pittsburgh, and I get it because it would indicate that they would get another Super Bowl. But I'm just tired of Kansas City. And that's a compliment to Kansas City because they're in it too often. And sooner or later, I get tired of the same thing. As much as I respect what they've done, Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, I want to see something new. And I really like what Brock Purdy has done. I like Christian McCaffrey. I like those guys. Deebo Samuel is something different. And Kyle Juszczyk, you know, this is a man who knows how to. Did you see the catch he made last week? Tightrope, toe tap along the sidelines on a critical third down catch.
That was pretty good.
That was pretty good. You don't see most fullbacks capable of making plays like that, but he's that good for that team. So I think San Francisco will win. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Jay in Blonox. Jay, what's going on today?
Hey, Bob. Great show. Thanks. I have a golf question.
Let's go.
What do you think has been the biggest change for equipment to the game between larger forgiving metal heads, the golf ball, or the high MOI mallet putters?
I think the biggest change is the golf ball, and they're trying to restrict some of that now moving forward. It's just, you know, some of these courses are obsolete based on how far these guys hit the ball, and I think it all is centered on the golf ball. Having said that, technology's come a long way. I think for those of us who are amateur golfers and just love to get out there and whack it, Jay, you can help yourself by getting some of the new technology. And all of these brands, I prefer, I'm a Srixon man. As I always say, get your Srixon. They have some wonderful stuff, but all of the companies do. And you can help yourself. But the best thing you can do, Jay, for me, is get fitted. Make sure you don't just buy it off the rack. Get it done the right way. It'll help your game.
Okay. Thank you, Bob.
All right, thank you. And by the way, they're playing the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. Scotty Scheffler is up around the top of that leaderboard, and we'll see what happens out at Pebble Beach. That's such a wonderful place. That's a bucket list thing for me. I hope it is for you, too. Jack Nicklaus said if he had one final round to play, no matter where it was, he said he'd choose Pebble Beach. Now, let's go out to Sean in Imperial. What's up, Sean? How are you?
Bob, thanks for taking my call. I'm doing well. Hope Disney World was great. Wanted to to you about the Steelers QB situation, right? So someone is trying to protect his investment, at least in the media realm, and that Kenny's his number one guy. Meanwhile, Kenny was benched for Mason Rudolph, however you want to look at it. He was a healthy scratch, in my opinion, out in Seattle, and then benched, obviously, in the Baltimore game in favor of Mason. So these are your two guys that you have system, which I don't think is enough coming into the year when you have guys like Watt and Hayward on the, you know, on the second half of their career. What name outside of the organization do you like to come in and play quarterback?
That's a good question, Sean. It's been out there. First of all, I think obviously with Kenny Pickett being a number one pick and what they have invested, they want Arthur Smith to come in here and have a system that will benefit him. And if you look at what they've been able to do, especially when he was in Tennessee. Now, in Atlanta, it didn't work, obviously, so well as a head coach. Maybe he's just not cut out to be a head coach. But in Tennessee, which allowed him to get the head coaching job, yes, he had Derrick Henry, but in the same year in 2020 when Henry had 2,000 yards rushing, he still managed a pass game that had A.J. Brown over 1,000 yards receiving. They had Ryan Tannehill with almost 4,000 yards passing, 33 touchdown passes. So obviously, the way he works is, and the way a lot of these guys want to work, is you put up a pretty good run game, and then you try to play action off of it. And if your quarterback is patient enough in the pocket, and I still think that's going to be the number one thing with Pickett, is he patient enough to make these plays develop? I think Rudolph showed you waiting is beneficial. you can wait long, almost get hit, and you still deliver a pass to one-on-one coverage, which breaks free because you waited in the pocket. But if you're asking me, like, people talk about Justin Fields. I like Justin Fields. I like him better if it's not a first or second round pick, and I don't think it would be. If it goes down lower than that, here's the problem, though. You're going to have to pick up his fifth-year option. That's a lot of money. I don't think the Steelers are in a position, nor do they want to spend fifth-year option money on a quarterback who hasn't played here yet. And he has the same sort of – now, the run game is off the charts. I'm not going to even debate that. But his – you know, he's a player who intrigues me. But am I willing, Sean, to pick up, you know, a fifth-year option? Would you? Because that fifth-year option is going to be over $30 million.
I think he's absolutely worth the I'd call it a lottery ticket, because, you know, you're still getting him on the last year of his rookie contract. And if he performs to what people think his ceiling is, you've solved your number one problem.
The issue would be, if you acquire him, you have to play him, don't you? You're not going to bring him in here not to play. And they've already said that they want Pickett to be the number one guy. And that's the message that Mason Rudolph has to consider as he goes through this process.
Do you believe that? Do you really believe that they want Kenny Pickett? They want to take an upgrade over Kenny?
Do you think Justin Fields is an upgrade?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And here, my bet, my dark horse is going to be Russell Wilson. I think you get him on a very cheap deal via trade. It's low risk. I think he's got a chip on his shoulder. He'd come in and quote-unquote compete with Kenny. I'm trying to look back at old Tomlin press conferences to see how he talked about Russell Wilson. I can't find it, but I'm sure he has gushed over him.
No, he has. And listen, if you get the Russell Wilson we saw last year in Denver for a team that's, you know, aging on defense and needs to try to capitalize now because Art Rooney has been impatient. He said that. It's time. That would not be a bad play for me, as long as the money made sense, because he's an experienced guy who could come in and he can also help Kenny Pickett or Mason Rudolph or whomever else is in that quarterback room. A lot of people have mentioned Kirk Cousins. I don't know about his injury situation. He had a big injury. Is he capable? First of all, he goes year to year. He makes a lot of money year to year. It's not future money you have to worry about with him. It's just current money. Can they fit it in? I don't know. But it's going to be interesting how they attack this, because they still don't know who's going to be in their quarterback room. It could be a draft pick. You could be looking at Michael Penix Jr. down the road, or Bo Nix. They seem to like him. But that'll be later in the draft, because they have five picks in the first four rounds. But I'm not, at this point, clear about who is coming in. And a lot of what Kenny Pickett will be able to do will be dependent on who they bring in, Sean. Because if they bring in Russell Wilson or Justin Fields, they cannot possibly not play them, I think.
I think the last name is Tannehill. Obviously, with the Arthur Smith connection, I think there's a real good chance that you see that name pop up. And then I appreciate you giving me some time here. The last one I wanted to make is with Arthur. He runs a lot of two tight end sets. We didn't see many balls tossed towards Mount Washington last year. I want to get your thoughts on what you see him developing into.
Thanks, Sean. Appreciate that, and I agree with that. He's been a tight end friendly kind of offensive coordinator. At least, again, I go back to Tennessee days. Kyle Pitts was not featured as much as I would have liked in Atlanta, and I don't know if that's his call, their call, whoever's calling in. I assume it's him. But in Tennessee, Jonnu Smith was the guy. He and who was the other guy? I can't think of his last name. His first name is Anthony. I think Anthony. He was a tight end for them along with Jonnu Smith.
Yeah, Anthony Firkser?
Firkser, that's his name. That's why that name throws me off, like Favre used to throw me off. Favre, Favre, and Firkser. But Jonnu Smith was the main man. Those guys had a big, if I recall, impact on their offense with, again, Derrick Henry in the backfield. So I think Pat Freiermuth didn't get a lot of play this year. I think he'll get more in Arthur Smith's system. And I also think maybe Darnell Washington will get more of his play. We'll see how that goes. Got to take a break. 412-928-9370. Heimer, Ernesto, and Neil, you're coming up. We have lines open at 412-928-9370. Once again, a thanks to our sponsors, PNC Bank. Make today the day. Number one, Cochran. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochran.com. Shenderovich, Shenderovich, and Fishman. They got your bag, not your wallet. Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call. Check it out every night at 10:35 on KDK Plus and right here on The Fan on several nights. And Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. Come see what everyone's talking about at Iron Rock Tap House. We'll be back with more of your calls next right here on the Bob Pompeiani Show at Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. We roll along here on a Saturday in Pittsburgh. Beautiful weather. Man, we just don't seem to get any snow accumulation, which is fine. I'm not complaining about that. I feel bad for people like to ski, although they can create that. But so far, it's been rather benign winter once again, although if that rain last week had all been snow, we would have been digging out for quite a bit of time. Anyway, we have the weather coming up at the end of the program. Once again, our show is brought to you by PNC Bank, number one Cochran, Shendorovich, Shendorovich & Fishman, Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg, and Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call. A lot of people on the lines. Let's get right to it, beginning with Neil in Butler. Hey, Neil, what's going on? Hello, Neil. Uh-oh, Neil.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, good. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I'm just doing this real quick research. I want to talk about the Super Bowl. You know, the things you brought up were interesting because I'm a huge Niner fan. I'll start off by saying that. What concerns me, I think the Chiefs overall do have the better defense. The Niners' effort, especially in the run game, and the angles also that they've been taking have been staggeringly bad against Green Bay and of course Detroit. And when they're playing from behind, they're not quite the same team. And also the second point is a lot of people always like to call Brock Purdy a system quarterback, but you know, not very many quarterbacks turn their back to the defense in the percentage plays that Purdy does, and to be able to. And when he's accurate, they're a juggernaut on offense. It's when he's inaccurate, when I know that's with a lot of teams, you know, that's when they struggle. And against Miami, their offense, but Miami went going into KC at 8 degrees. That never seems to work well. So they're going to be facing a different offense in the San Francisco 49ers they have the last 2 weeks against Buffalo and Baltimore.
Yeah, Neil, I think you're right. Purdy, you know, I when you hear system quarterback, it's kind of disrespectful. He's been in the league for how many years now? 2 years and or going, is this, yeah, 2 years. And the dude has put up really good numbers all the way through from being a, you know, seventh round last pick overall to what he's been able to do. If you want, every offense has a system. So, yes, every quarterback is a system quarterback. If you don't believe that, all you have to do is look at the Steeler game this year, second game of the year, whatever it was, when Minka Fitzpatrick came charging in on a blitz, and he just spun away so easily from Minka Fitzpatrick and made a completion. He has had bad games. Certainly the Baltimore game with all those interceptions was one of them. But you give him time, he knows where people are. And I really like how he has distributed the football. The great thing about him, if you're San Francisco, he doesn't cost you much at all. You can still go out in free agency this year and do more with him. Because he was a seventh-round pick, you don't have any of this fifth-year option stuff to worry about for now. It's a great situation to have. I give them credit, Neil, too, because they had Garoppolo, they had Trey Lance. If you want to stick by principles of, I got to give my first-round pick, third overall, every opportunity, they didn't do that. They immediately knew that it looked like Purdy was a better quarterback than the guy who was third overall. And so they did not play him as much. I know he got injured, but they ended up trading him quickly before he really ever got a legitimate chance. And will he ever get one in Dallas? We'll see.
All right, I love that fact. And not only that, they gave up on Alex Smith when they felt he wasn't good enough. They've admitted their mistakes at that position. And I think sometimes if you want to transition that to Pittsburgh, yeah, if you feel you don't got the guy, that's the position you need a guy at. And if you go, you know, if you feel he isn't it, you better move on and you better be willing to move on quickly.
Thanks, Neil. Appreciate the call. As we move along at 412-928-9370, Heimer in West Pittsburgh joins us. Hey, Heimer, what's up?
Bob, I love the show.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Just for that, I wanted to ask you, like, I don't understand, like, sometimes there's no common sense. Gets me is the national media, like Peter King. How do you pick, how are they going to pick Myles Garrett over T.J. Watt for Defensive Player of the Year? I mean, do they look at the stats, like, in front of them? Like, I just don't understand. Do you see, understand it?
Well, I think it's a meter metric system that they're looking at, pressure rates and things of this nature, which I hate all of that because – yeah, sure. How do you define what really is pressure? You know, All I know is T.J. Watt got to the quarterback a lot more than Myles Garrett did. T.J. Watt got into the backfield a lot more and made plays. The key is making the plays. You can get there and don't make a play, but you get credit for that in some of these systems that they use. And listen, metrics is a big part of it. I get it. But you shouldn't determine players of the year based on simply metrics. It's got to be some steak, not just sizzle. You know, they got the steak is get to the quarterback, who has the most hits, you can go right down the list, and T.J. Watt has number one on his list on just about every defensive category compared to Myles Garrett. And I like Myles Garrett. I think he's a terrific player, but that doesn't mean he should win this award.
I totally agree with you. I just was, like, wondering because I could see, like, they vote, like, because Myles Garrett got into the playoffs, we ended up going in, too. So, and the loss of T.J. in that Buffalo game.
He was totally ineffective in that loss at Houston, Myles Garrett. He did nothing in that game.
Exactly. So, and my last question for you is, I know you love tomahawk steaks. Did you ever finish one?
I never finish anything anymore, Heimer. The older I get, I take boxes everywhere, it seems like, no matter what restaurant I'm in. We were last night at Serafino's, which is a great place in Crafton, but I end up taking that home, too. So, no, I love tomahawk steaks, but I can't finish one, no.
All right, thank you for everything.
All right, have a good day. I like take-home food. You know, it tastes better the second day sometimes, and you have a lunch opportunity, so you get two for one. Saves you money that way. Let's go to Ernesto in McMurray. What's up, Ernesto?
Good day, Mr. Pompeani.
Good day to you.
Thank you, sir. I'm going to see if I can thread this Kenny Pickett situation into the Arthur Smith hire. So Kenny stepped in for Mitch Trubisky, and if I'm not mistaken, there was a conflict between Mitch and Dropson at halftime, and that was a pretty chaotic situation that Kenny stepped into. And it doesn't seem like his leadership or him as a captain, not denigrating him, he ever settled that chaos. There was a lot of infighting. The offense never looked cohesive, and there was a lot of problems. Now, I see this Arthur Smith hire not just as a hire for passing, logistics, offensive development, but I feel like he's a bit of an alpha that might come in and stabilize that offense where Kenny couldn't. Because when they played for Mason, it looked like a team unified. Like there was actual leadership there. And a team that plays motivated and together looks totally different as an offense versus a team that was skilled but just not cohesive.
Yeah, I agree with that. But, Ernesto, I want to ask you something about Kenny Pickett. There are things I've seen that I really like about him. And while a lot of people already have kind of written him off, I am not ready to do that. I still think there's a lot there. This impatience in the pocket does bother me, but it's something that can be worked on and improved.
I totally agree, Bob. I think I'm not ready to throw him into the scrap heap at all. What I just want is an honest meritocracy competition in training camp. And if he can develop these I think he needs a solid quarterback coach, maybe a passing game coordinator, work on his reading through his progressions. And also, there's a lot of open throws that he just blatantly misses, and you can't really blame that on Matt Canada. I mean, I see it from a television as a layman.
Yeah, I agree. I think a lot of those throws – and it's also decision-making. He made some bad decisions, and that's on him. A system is set up, you know, and Arthur Smith's system is throw to an area and make sure your receiver is there. And if he is, then good things can happen. If he isn't, then it's more on the receiver than the quarterback. But, listen, it's going to be fascinating to watch, and I want to know how they fill out this room because the first thing that has to happen is they have to make a decision, or more specifically, Mason Rudolph has to make a decision on his future. Thanks, Ernesto. Appreciate the call. All right, let's go out to Walt in Greensburg. Hey, Walt, what's going on?
Bob, how you doing?
Good. What's up, Walt?
Hey, I'm already on the side of disgusted with the Pirates' offseason moves, and I'll tell you why. First off, the Chapman move, I don't know if that's another, like, McCutcheon move for Bob Nothing that maybe he's going to bring some fans.
Why don't you like that move, just out of curiosity? The guy can still bring it, and he's a left-hand pitcher, which they're always in short supply.
I think they need starting pitching. I mean, they had decent relief pitching last year until the starters couldn't do anything, and then they started these reliever starters and all that and just threw it out in the woods. But, again, I'm not a big fan of it. Maybe I'll be wrong. I hope I am, but I don't think I will. But the one that really bothers me is Telez. They went and got Telez early, and I thought, man, the Pirates are early doing this. Telez was benched by Milwaukee for the last half of the season, and then this Rhys Hoskins signs with Milwaukee. That's the guy I want him to go after, but of course there's a little bit more money in it, and Bob Nothing is going to do the money part of it. I'm not even sure they're going to hit the win total from last year the way they're going, and I'm just discouraged with the Pirates books.
Well, a lot of people will probably join you in that. Well, thank you for the call, but I will say this. I like their bullpen a lot. I think they got some players in there who are going to be really good lefty-righty combinations. You have a guy who led the National League in saves with David Bednar tied. He's coming back. Chapman will be a good eighth inning guy. They can mix and match with him. They also have some really good young pitchers in there who are going to make a difference, I think. But you're right. The key is starters. They got Martin Perez. Okay, fine. I think he's a guy who can help them. Gonzalez, those both will be in their lineup along with Mitch Keller. Now, the question would be Paul Skenes. I'm more bullish on this team than I think you are in that I think they made improvement last year. Now they've got to make the similar improvement this year. If they do that, and that's a lot because it's a 14-game upgrade, they can be in position to at least challenge for. Now, should they spend more? Yes. I've said it and blue in the face saying it. Milwaukee is a smaller meteor market than the Pittsburgh market, and yet they go out and spend. I know they just traded Corbin Burns, who's a former Cy Young winner. But they also know how to retool, spend money, and they'll be competitive as they are every single year, if not division winners again. So there's a long way to go. But Ke'Bryan Hayes, what I saw from him last year encourages me. O'Neill Cruz missed most of the year. Quite frankly, he was better in his first 2 years than L.A. De La Cruz was for Cincinnati, and he caused all this people talking about him all the time. So remember the Pirates started 29 last year, 20-9. They need to do that, maybe not 11 games over 500 in the first month of the year. But if they get off to a good start, I think things can happen because Skenes should be able to come up at some point. Anyway, 412-928-9370. Carl Monrova, you'll be coming up. Guy in California, we got a whole another hour to go. Let me know what you think. It's the Bob Pompiani Show. And before I get to a break, I want to tell you about Fan Weather, which is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Check out special financing for qualified buyers on new Silverado 1500 trucks. Today is going to be a beauty. High of 45, low of 28. Partly cloudy through the morning, clear tomorrow with a high of 50 degrees, clear skies in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Your weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. More calls on the way right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.